Freddy, I'm Freddy, I think you've heard this.
White man came across the sea. He brought us pain and misery. He killed our tribes. Oh, he killed our greed. He took our game for his own need. We fought so hard, and we fought him well. Out on the plains, we gave him hell. But many came too much for greed.
Oh, will we ever be set free?
Running through dust clouds and barren wastes.
Galloping hard on the plains,
chasing the redskins back to their holes,
fighting them at their own game.
Murder for freedom,
stabbing the back.
Women and children are cowards.
Attack!
Run to the hills. Run for your lives.
Run to the hills.
Run for your life.
Right, right, right.
We will make the world metal again. Thank you. God bless you. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
Whenever you're ready, go right ahead.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to another thrilling episode of the Toilet of Hell Radio Show. I'm Joe Thrashenkill. With me, I've got my number one good and golden boy, 365 Days of Horror, or as we like to call him, Jordan. Jordan, how's it going?
I am only going to participate in this show as long as it is a legal show. I will not participate in illegal podcasts. I'm just saying we need to count all of the podcasts that are out there and let this thing play out.
Seems like a fair request to me. Joining us today, we have our good friend Brennicide. Brennicide, do you agree to these terms?
I do not. I mean, it just doesn't make sense that there are all sorts of dead podcasts that are allowed to have a say. There are some cat podcasts that have managed to, you know, throw their hat in the ring on this one. And I mean, if you look at Georgia, Georgia only has like 3 million podcasts and there are 8 million votes here. I don't understand.
There are some irregularities. I highly recommend that we involve the UN and we can get this hashed out.
Hashtagged.
Well, folks, election is come and gone and the week passed. Everything seemed to go much quieter than I thought it would. That's, you know, it's not totally without event. Some MAGA dude did murder somebody in LA yesterday, but... that's not exactly the widespread violence that I think a lot of people were concerned about. So that's good.
It's like they're all talk and no action. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, can you believe it?
I don't really want to poke the barrel.
Yeah, I don't want. I definitely don't want to kick a soccer ball into that big stupid hornet's nest. But it's just like, I mean, we've all known for all the years that they were all talk, and if they don't get what they want. They don't go out in the streets like people who actually have something to protest for. They just go out in the streets to fight the people who have legitimate causes.
Yeah, when you have a lot to lose, that takes away the will to maybe get your hands dirty. Right now, I'm setting up shopping alerts. I'm trying to get my hands on a heavily discounted Trump branded gun.
I saw those.
Maybe a pink one with like a name emblazoned on it, like Natalie.
Yeah, I'll just borrow that one from my stepmother.
You should get one that where the end of the barrel curls just like Trump's signature hair, where it just points directly right back at your face.
Yes, the Looney Tunes edition.
Yeah, every Donald Trump gun is the Looney Tunes edition. It's going to be that kind of show.
Yeah, man. Like, I get, emails like check out our latest guns and such. And, you know, for the last several years, there's been at least one in there, which is like a $3,000 piece of shit handgun that has like, fuck your feelings, Trump, keep America great or whatever, all of it. And I don't know if those are going to keep selling at such a rapid clip. I think that maybe the price on those might taper off a bit, in which case I'm going to purchase one and a metal file so I can get that shit off a bit.
I'm going to get like a custom gun that just has all the things that Joe Biden said to that one factory guy, just like put somewhere on the buttstock where you're just like listen, challenging him to step outside to kick his ass or something.
You want to do malarkey, a push-up right bitch. Here, brother?
You want to continue this malarkey outside there, fat?
You know, in all of the crazy shit that's happened since the very beginning of the primary season right now, I would like to issue a formal apology for ever doubting that the corn pop story was real.
I won't.
That's
the shit that he lied about that got him elected.
Corn pop was a real dude. It's confirmed. People found him.
What?
Yeah. I know it was the most incredible thing to me. Like no fucking way could this, you know, fucking 1950s greaser scenario ever play out, but it did. So, on that issue alone, I owe Joe Biden an apology.
Do we have like a photograph of this dude?
I believe that he actually died fairly recently, but there are interviews with him that you can check out.
Corn Pop is real. Corn Pop is gay.
No, he's not.
That's just what Google was like, you know, the first thing they threw at me. No, I can't get a photo of him right away, so I won't try. But, you know, if you want to watch a video called Corn Pop was a bad dude, but Joe Biden wasn't scared, that it is available on YouTube, courtesy of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. But we don't have to talk about
that. No, we don't have to do that. I would like to take a little bit of time here, though, and kind of do an in memoriam segment. And we can remember the true victims of the last 4 years. Consequences will never be the same. I think first off, maybe we should think about pouring one out for Michael Graves. He made a big, big bet with his career and personal life, deciding that he is at the age of like 50, now a proud boy and a true defender of Western chauvinism, and probably got a Trump tattoo on his dick, and that didn't
just the initials, it wasn't long enough.
I don't foresee things working out super well with his career after this. You know, It's good to make big bets, but you know, you can't be shocked when they don't pay off. What do you think on that one? Am I right? Am I wrong? Where are we going?
To
with that?
Be fair, he didn't really have much of a career left. His mistake was more of getting in on the game late, like very late. Yeah. So now he's just like a double loser. He didn't even cash in on it like 4 years ago when some of these other people did.
Yeah, that's a real humdinger, isn't it? You know, like, day late, dollar short, you just really just shot your own dick right off with no benefit whatsoever.
His only other option is to do guest vocals on the next Fozzy song.
Wow. I can't wait to hear that one. But yeah, you shot your dick off with a Looney Tunes engraved gun, man.
You had to put the barrel of the gun at the bottom base of it for it to work properly.
Right, you really had to shove it up in there.
Another big loser. I am generally opposed to saying their name because I don't want to pay into whatever the fuck it is that they're doing. But I think we can go ahead and call the game now. Trapped. You're done.
Yeah. By the way, he should legally change his name to Trapped Guy because no one really knows what his actual name is.
No one has any idea.
Right. No clue.
Chris, maybe? Chris something?
I just love how this guy has been calling people out to fights all over the internet, and it's just like, yeah, bro, make sure to bring your apricot biceps with you. Look at this gangly fucking little nerd. Like, you wrote like a tough guy song for the UFC maybe up to close to 20 years ago, and you really haven't lifted a weight since. We can all tell.
No, but if you wear those like Under Armour compression shirts that are skin tight, people think that you might lift.
Oh yeah, you can get them like with abs built in.
Oh shit, that's smart. I ought to do that. Yeah,
I can't wait to just stretch one of those over my massive beer gut.
Trapped guy, to his credit, probably has a body count with his shenanigans in Sturgis. So let's not antagonize him too much.
Right, street cred on that one. Street cred on that one. Definitely a tough, very tough guy.
But as is, there probably aren't going to be a ton of CAGA rallies or whatever. So that's out as a potential revenue source for now. I believe they said they were going to do a Proud Boys only show. Again, I don't know how much you can pull in from the gate when there's like maybe 500 total participants in the U.S.
Yeah, I mean, it's like every trap show was a Proud Guys only show there. And it's just how, I mean, it's going to look as sad as any VFW on a Tuesday night would look, you know.
I don't know. I've been to noise shows on Tuesday at VFW, so... It's tough to get worse than that.
I mean, I've been in people's like garages at noise shows on a Tuesday night, man. I don't know why. I don't know why any of us have ever been to those. Like, who were we trying to impress?
I have no idea. The circumstances that take you to a noise show are unknown. It can never be fully understood.
Support the scene.
See, I don't think noise people say support the scene. They just flip their table and flip everyone off.
Yeah.
It's never about the scene. It's fuck you for being here on a Tuesday night with me.
It's like, how dare you come to listen to what I can do to these pedals? And this microphone.
Anyway, I rather than focus on the noise scene that all of us are familiar with, but none of us understand. let's continue on down the list here. Making a late entry, Christian Munzer. Of Obscura and Alkaloid. He put his old ass on the table last week and goddamn swing and a miss.
Yeah, another weird gangly fuck there. Oh, Christian, what are you doing? He was, I think he was kicked out of Obscura because his arm got all fucky.
What?
Yeah, didn't he have some sort of a degenerative muscular issue of some kind and he couldn't play the super wonky donkey riffs anymore? And then he had to go and start Alkaloid there, which, I don't know, it's a bit more of a fun band, I guess. And I don't know, maybe he earned his place back so that he could spout these falsities into my face at any given monitor.
Maybe. What I can tell you is that he did this for the love of the game. I don't think he thought that there was anything to gain from coming out is a bit MAGA guy. So sucks to suck.
What did he say? Do we have a quote from him?
Oh God, you're going to have to pause the recording so I can pull it up.
I won't. I assure you.
Yeah. Let's just go ahead and roll on with it then.
Is he American?
No, he's German.
I didn't think so. That's always the weirder thing to me. It's like, if you're an American and you're doing this, you don't know any better. When you're European, I would hope that you could at least look upon our faults over here and go, no, we will not be doing that. But I guess not.
I mean, if nothing else, I hope that people can take away from this whole saga that there is something that is incredibly appealing about what Trumpism is to the tune of around 70 million people in the U.S. And more elsewhere. What it is does not, the pheromones don't work on me, but it does work on a lot of people, and it's probably best to figure that out and quickly.
People like to be loud and dumb, I guess.
My thing is that, my theory is that people basically, when given not great options and declining country overall, you just want permission to be bad. That might be too simple, but that's the way that I see it.
Oh, we can move on from this fucking guy. Christian Marmaladinger, nobody cares.
Here's one that I haven't thought about in a while, and I bet you guys haven't either. Do you remember Trump's inauguration?
Sure.
Yeah, I've like blocked it out of my memory, but it haunts me still. What's
Is it going to be the three doors down guy?
The three doors down. They opted to play Trump's inauguration when literally no one else would. I think the total lineup was Antonio Sabato Jr., Frank Stallone, Three Doors Down.
I remember just there was a portion of like 3 to 6 months where whenever I went to a movie, they would always play the Three Doors Down song that was pro-army, citizen soldier. It was so annoying.
I know that we did a show where we listened to that song, and I don't remember anything about it. I was also like, why did they show that to you at the movies all the time?
It's about how kick-ass it was to be in the like Army Reserves or something like that. You can work your shitty job during the week, but on the weekends you can be shipped off somewhere and, I don't know, put sandbags in a flooded part of Mississippi.
Yeah, or shoot some brown kid.
I don't know I don't know what the Army Reserve is. I'm going to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah, a reserve. That's different. Yeah, it's like putting sandbags in Mississippi somewhere. It's, yeah. Or like shoving, these days, like, you know, shoving a giant Q-tip in people's noses.
Are they doing like widespread testing efforts too?
At old folks' homes. Yeah, months ago they were, when things were real bad.
I mean, they're real bad now.
They're actually worse now, but we've all kind of ignored that with the election.
It's funny how these things work, isn't it? It must be the Democrats doing some things. Do we have any more bad takes along those lines from other musicians?
I mean, like, these are the ones that I wanted to not get lost in the memory hole. But there's also a fairly prominent one that we talk about from time to time. He also, you know, moonlights as a wrestler occasionally. Jordan, who is this fella?
Oh, no.
Christopher Jericho, who, it was revealed not that long ago, donated $3,000 to the Trump campaign.
Yeah.
Thank God. I thought you were going to say Andy Williams from Every Time I Die.
No, Andy is the sweetheart. He's the sweetest butcher ever.
He's perfect. Nothing
with
wrong
every $1,000 that Chris Jericho donates to Trump, his hairline gets that much higher.
Did you see this fucking guy like go in MS Paint and try to draw in his hairline?
It looks like he drew in Dookie on his head.
Just like he got the brown spray paint effect. It's like something, yeah, I would do to some teacher's photo in like 2001.
Genuinely, like, shit, apps that come with your phone can do a more convincing job of blending. So it looks like he literally loaded up MS Paint on his desktop to do this.
It's like, what do you even do when you get caught in that situation? Do you delete the photo? Do you just ignore it? Like,
I don't know.
I think now everyone takes screenshots. So once it's out there, it's too late when you're a celebrity.
You might as well just take the L and move on.
That's probably the best strategy for all of us.
And so after Election Day, Jericho tweeted out, "I'm not a political person, mm-hmm. but is it strange to anybody else that for the first time ever, think about that, for the first time ever, we have to wait a day, 2 days, 5 days, 10 days to find out who won the presidential race?" And you can imagine the ratio on that.
Yeah, didn't it take like 5 months to tally votes and shit and announce a winner back when we didn't have things like, I don't know, the internet?
Well, that, and then his former tag team partner and pro wrestler, Lance Storm, replied to him, "The 2000 election took a month to finally be decided. Not exactly the first time ever. I cut promos about this in WCW.
Wow.
Man, it's like a very specific L to take.
What the fuck was that promo about?
Well, Lance Storm was like a Canadian. He was the Canadian person. So it was all about how Canada's good and the United States is all screwed up because they can't get the election done. That sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah. He'd come out with a Canadian flag. Everybody would boo him. And he'd be like, you know, coming from Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Yeah, it was the Bret Hart thing, but in WCW, essentially.
Yeah, it was like some, yeah, right. It's like they couldn't get a Russian for the moment, so they had to get a Canadian.
These are the major winners of the last 4 years that came to my mind. Or is there anybody else that that you're thinking of that you don't want to let get lost in the shuffle here?
Kid Rock.
Kid Rock, God bless him.
Remember when he was teasing he was going to run for Senate for about a minute?
Yeah. If he ever did that, he'd probably win in a blowout.
Oh, he'd definitely win. In this election, the Democrats squeaked by with a couple of thousand votes. So if he runs, he wins. So
I've spent most of my conscious political life making fun of libertarians. And I would like to say that the libertarians really came through on this one in a big way.
They Jill Steined it.
They Jill Steined it. And, you know, I frankly love to see it because, I've been keeping tabs on the right wing groups that I hang out in on Facebook. And they are fully as incensed at Joe Jorgensen as the liberals were for the last 4 years at Jill Stein. So God bless them all. It's great to see.
Oh yeah, the screenshots of 4chan during this meltdown in the last several days have really just been glorious. I didn't think I'd be so happy to see these people miserable. Go figure, right?
Regardless of what actually happens over the next months and years, because things look pretty bleak on many fronts. I really don't want anybody to come away with this than with anything other than it is good to see your enemies fail.
right. Yeah.
That's the most important lesson.
Yeah. So don't let anybody scold you out of taking joy in that. Cause it's yours and you should cherish it. Now that you mentioned Kid Rock, I think you gotta mention his brother in arms, Ted Nugent. Ted Nugent taking a major L in what is surely the last year of his life. So I appreciate that as well.
You can only hope, really. It's just, those people live forever.
They do. Mitch McConnell is near
turning purple.
His hands are black. and I just don't know how he possibly has it in him to keep living other than just some kind of pure satanic spite. But I mean, he's doing it. He's amazing us all.
Incredible government healthcare is what's doing it for him.
Yeah.
I had heard rumors that the blackness of his hands was related to being on heavy doses of blood thinners, which would indicate that he would need some kind of cardiac surgery, which I believe he was putting off until he could get Amy Coney Dog on the court.
Amy Coney 2012.
keep safe, putting it off, Mr. Sense. McConnell,
So now he can go under the knife and, hopefully explode.
And stay under the knife.
Yep.
Whoever his anesthesiologist is, don't be afraid to crank it just a little too high.
fill him up like a Zeppelin.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. Anyone else, or should we move on to the next segment here?
I mean, we could kind of go off on it, but System of a Down put out two new songs completely out of nowhere for the first time in 15 years. And that still works with what we're talking about because their drummer, John Dalmayan, is MAGA 2020 1,000,000% still.
Yeah, I know we've kind of touched on it a little bit over the last year or so, but the fuck? He must have the most ironclad contract with this band.
Yeah, I don't see why you can't just put someone else in. I mean, you could find another Armenian drummer to do the same exact stuff he does.
Yeah, it's not the most complicated thing in the world, but he figured out how to make his nut, so good for him. But also, it must be incredibly awkward to have to be in, your overtly political band with your fucking MAGA cousin.
Have you heard the two new songs they did?
I'm going to be honest with you, man. I've never been a System of a Down fan, so I haven't listened to them.
They sound like System of a Down, so if you don't like them, you're not going to like this. The little story behind it is kind of interesting because they're obviously still divided, when it comes at least between John and Serge. These songs were originally going to be the guitarist Darren's, his side project, Scars on Broadway. They were going to be songs for that, And because of what's currently going on between Armenia and Azerbaijan and Turkey, the Serj kind of came in and said, yeah, let's do this. Put his vocals to songs that they had been working on without him. And like, they're raising money to help out in Armenia. So, hey, it's a good cause.
Yes. I would like to understand this conflict better, and I am honestly having a hard time understanding all of the players and what's at stake here, other than I know that Armenia has generally gotten the shit into the stick.
Yeah, it's with like a lot of these kind of European, Euro-Asian conflicts, it has a lot to do with oppression, genocide, and like border disputes and land disputes. And it's one of those, this is our land. No, we've been here for over 100 years, et cetera, et cetera. And like you said, Armenia gets the short end of the stick. Yesterday, I was driving around in Providence, and actually, I was looking for Christmas presents for you guys, by the way. And
it's so early.
That's why I want to get it done now. And went up the road, went to a record shop that was appointment only, lucky for me. And on the way back, I couldn't go back the same road because all of a sudden there was a pro-Armenia protest going on with flags, and there were police. Within like 10 minutes of me driving on this road, this thing sprung up. So, you know, I guess it's good that System of a Down could at least come together, try to help out their homeland. It sucks that John is a MAGA dummy. In just the past day or so on Instagram, he tweeted out, or he Instagrammed out, whatever the verb is for that. If the will of the American people is that Joe Biden is president, then so be it, but only if he achieved this without fraud or collusion. This president has been under attack for nearly 5 years by all media, both social and otherwise, along with massive corporations and the lifelong politicians who have been actively attacking him since he decided to run. Why? He dealt with a worldwide pandemic crisis and a total shutdown of the economy, perpetuated and instigated by his opponents in the hopes that our economy would crash and that he would be blamed. Massive protests, they will go away if Biden is elected, that were most certainly instigated by his opposition to destabilize our nation and erode trust in our system. If Biden wins, all of these protests will disappear and there will be a quick end to the pandemic. Don't fall for it. You will probably never see another non-politician run for office again. Great, I'm all for that. This is our loss. This election is not over, nor should it be without complete transparency.
Well, I guess I have several disagreements with his statement, but, you know.
I mean, thinking that Trump has fought for you at any point in your life is just wrong.
That's cucked thinking. That's seriously cucked thinking.
If you think Trump wouldn't cross the street to avoid crossing John Delmayan, you're wrong.
Yeah. One of the oddest things I hear from MAGA dudes all the time is this kind of sentiment that Donald Trump is so appealing because he's not a politician. He's not like those other guys, and usually that always turns around to them sticking their thumb towards themselves and being like, he's like me, you know. And it's so fucking completely off base. It couldn't be any farther from the truth that that guy has and wants nothing to do with you, and you have billions of dollars and generations of wealth that separate you two that just cannot be perceived by mathematics, and you're all complete fucking clowns for thinking otherwise. So
I mean, this is the one good thing you will ever hear me say about George W. Bush. I understand what people meant when they said he looks like a kind of guy you could get a beer with. You know, he had that kind of appearance and, you know, overall
charm,
even though he was, you know, an evangelical freak that, you know, quit drinking after a number of incidents.
Right. I've had a lot of beers with a lot of dumbasses, you know. I just want to put that out there.
He was a guy who liked baseball. He owned a team. You could
he
have
owned
a beer
my team.
With him.
He fucked it up. But that's the thing, though. Like, there was a charm to it that was, it was every man, even if it was not genuine. With Donald Trump, he's a fucking New York City fancy lad. Like, it's a polar opposite appearance. The guy that fucking spent months on Twitter obsessing over the fucking relationship between the Twilight stars. Like, it is so far apart from the way that, you know, the everyman masculinity would manifest itself.
It's so, I think, in large part because it's, we always like to say, part of this country, they're just apologetic non-millionaires. People think they're going to hit it rich.
Temporarily embarrassed just, millionaires, yeah.
Yeah, embarrassed millionaires. They think, you know, next month it's going to happen. They're going to win the lotto. They're going to get that big promotion that does not exist. And he was the avatar for that. He was what a lot of this country thinks is successful. The big house, your name, big house, the big skyscrapers with your name on it, showing up in magazines, owning beauty pageants. To them, that was it. And hey, if we can get behind this guy, my turn's next. It's going to happen for me.
Right. And nothing, I mean, being a guy that works in a factory, I can't tell you how many times I hear people making $30,000, $40,000 a year talk about how Joe Biden is going to ruin us all with his tax plans. It's like, it's not your problem, bro. Like, this is, you're never going to have the Maserati in the five-car garage. It's never going to fucking happen. Look where we are. We're both covered in fucking oil and soot, you idiot. Like, it's never, ever going to be us. And
well, to be fair, the Maserati might happen. I live in a, you know, fairly, I live in an extremely working class neighborhood, and the guy behind me has a Maserati because the value on those things deprecates like a motherfucker a year in.
This is very true. Okay. You can definitely get like a 2004 Maserati for the same price as maybe like a newer camper. You can do it. You'll just never be able to fix the thing when like one, I don't know, piece of plastic breaks in the interior. But
yeah, and you've got to take apart the entire engine to fix it.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, but that's how it is. I don't think John Dolmayan is really too poorly off himself. I'm sure he's made a lot of money with Chop Suey and the success of Toxicity and otherwise. And so, you know, him and his boys can chill for just about damn near a decade without putting out a single note of music. Hey, Blast Beats in the new song. That's great. Thanks, John.
But I mean, there is also the other phenomenon of, say, like with Five Finger Death Punch. Why the fuck did I just say it that way? Five Finger Death Punch.
Five Digger Death Punch.
Punch.
I didn't say anything about Five Dinger Death Punch.
In which there was a really great piece from the Hampton Institute a couple of weeks ago that I was kind of blown away with, because it was an introduction to the bourgeoisie covering themselves in signifiers of the working class, even though it couldn't be further from the truth, which is kind of what you're dealing with a lot of folks like this. Like, Bruno, you probably work with a lot of dudes who don't have shit, will never have shit, but, you know, are going to vote for, the billionaire that they think will represent them. And then you also have a lot of dudes who do have shit. They got a boat dealership they inherited from their dad, and they, you know, wear a fucking straw hat and go around shoeless and pretend to be a son of the soil. which is a huge phenomenon in itself, and it feeds into it, like seeing these working class signifiers, or, you know, that you're somehow of the common man, even though you're robbing the rest of them blind.
People believing that Trump is a tough guy and he will beat people up when he can't walk down a slight incline.
He is terribly unhealthy.
Well, that's like, while this was going on, there was people saying, well, he might just run in 2024. I question if he is going to be in any shape to do anything in 4 years.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen. His time has come and gone. I mean, he can probably cause a lot of chaos in the interim, especially by kind of setting up his own kind of media network where he, you know, he draws attention away from, you know, the Republican establishment in favor of Trump loyalists. I think that could cause a lot of chaos and be good and very, very nice to see.
A lot will happen in 4 years. It's entirely possible that we'll get someone like Tom Cotton just pulling up the MAGA roots and just wrapping himself in it. And he's just the new Trump guy. He's the new avatar.
Yeah, Tom Cotton is, I'm going to say it's either him or it's Crenshaw. And you really don't want to see either one of them with even a shred more of power. That would be very bad. But anyway, we don't have to focus on that.
No, I have one more voice to contribute to.
Yeah.
The talk here. It's actually somebody who's happy about Joe Biden winning, apparently. It's our boy Nurgi. Have we heard it from him in a while?
You know, honestly, we have not talked about Nurg and I don't know, a five head. I mean, Fortnite.
A five head. Yeah. Approximately that gigantuan length of time. So Adam Nurgledarsky, the famed frontman of Behemoth, he says on Instagram, I believe. Well, actually, what he did is he shared a political cartoon of Trump being launched with a slingshot by the Statue of Liberty, which is just, it sounds like the lamest fucking I could just see
if only we had cool political cartoons.
Yeah, I could just see it, man. It's such a square ass political cartoon. He writes, so with like four O's, this is it. I saw the CNN announcement and it feels like a big fucking relief, honestly. Why is it a relief for a Polish guy from the other side of the globe? I tell you right away, the letter U, of course, it's a light in the end of a tunnel that maybe era of beraters, opportunists, notorious liars with an E, is not finished, but will be significantly limited. Change in one country can inspire and resound in another to push things further and start a quote-unquote revolution. If the cause is right, people will follow eventually. I'm sorry I have to talk like this when I read fucking Nurgle speak. It's just, you got to stop at each word to make sure that it's all coming out the way he said it. But first, they must get up from their knees. First and must were all capitalized. I see a big...
I like that you're essentially reading as William Shatner.
But first, they must get up from their knees. I see a big parallel between the nature of Polish and American government and few others that do not appeal to my expectations. Poland's next. Fuck the system, cause the system ain't working, and cause is spelt COZ. So, let's chew on that one. That's Adam Nurgle.
All right. Well, I fear
Poland has their own issues going on right now.
Yeah, I fear that his expectations are a little grandiose here.
Yeah. Oh, good. I found the political cartoon as I scrolled down. Yeah, it's great.
Gotta love. There is something about.
No. Hold on. This slingshot is a paper mask that people have been wearing for COVID.
Oh, got it. So,
really important. Yeah. I missed that part.
150,000 cases in the U.S. yesterday.
Over a million in Texas total. Congratulations.
I've got to go into the hospital for a procedure next week, and boy, I'm just positive I'm going to get COVID.
The GoFundMe for the hazmat suit is coming, bro. We'll get you in there.
Yeah. there's just something about hack political cartoonists. Like, you have to use the Statue of Liberty in like every one that you do. Like, she's either like, you know, sobbing at what the bad man did, or like beating the bad man's ass because something good happened. It's very, very hack. And I think that it gives me more appreciation for, say, a Ben Garrison when I see this shit.
I mean, Ben Garrison, he calls it like it is.
He calls it like something. If nothing else, he has a unique spin on things.
I mean,
he calls it like the Dilbert guy calls it.
Exactly. You know, he's another great proprietor of text as opposed to subtext. Literally text written right there wherever he thinks that, you know, a metaphor could be confused. He will literally write it out for you.
Scott Adams blocked me on Twitter years ago for calling him Dildobert, and
that not the next Toilet of Hell share for Christmas time?
And I see people retweeting him all the time with like tweet not available to you or whatever. It's like, fuck, I know he was doing something cool.
If only there was some way you could see it.
It's too much effort to like grab that URL, go to incognito tab and all that shit. Like, I'm not about it. Or I guess I should make a new burner. That'd be a good idea.
Oh, burners are excellent, man. It's just how you can actually threaten people, you know?
I'm not trying to threaten anybody. I'm just having a good time online.
Dildo Bert, I will fucking kill you. I will put you in a COVID-19 slingshot and fire you from the top of the Statue of Liberty into the fucking sky.
I do like that idea, actually. Somebody posted pictures of his house, which is, the house is shaped like Dilbert's head. It's one of the strangest things I've ever seen.
I guess if that's your empire.
I guess so. It's just such a, strange thing to go from, you know, the guy that made the comics about how much, you know, working in a cubicle is bad and not good to being like, his rebrand is a master of persuasion to full blown MAGA dude. It's like, you're a fucking cartoonist, for like, you know, the funny pages.
Yeah. He's the John Damian of the funny pages. He hasn't listened to his own work in 20 years and is mutated into something that he's always been complaining about or talking about.
Yeah, it's like, isn't the underlying statement here with Dilbert that, you know, having a job in capitalism sucks, and yet you're like the grandest fucking capitalist of them all. You're like a huge, huge asshole. It's just strange, really just dissonant with your own creation. We could go into art versus artist on this show, but do we really have to?
I mean, like, what is it? The Virgin Dilbert versus the Chad Bill Watterson.
I mean, man,
the Chad Cathy.
The Chad Cathy. That's
like
good.
As a kid, I liked Dilbert. I mean, what you had? You had Peanuts and Garfield, the Dilbert. Dilbert was probably the actual, like, you know, snicker inducer out of any of those three, more than anything. I mean, Peanuts, I mean, have you ever raffled at fucking Peanuts? No.
Never once. No. The only thing less funny than Peanuts is Family Circus.
Family Circus even worse, so. I mean, at least Garfield, they'll draw John's face like a little fucky just enough, and you'll just kind of laugh. But yeah, no, man, Peanuts is just void of humor. Dilbert probably these days just as much. Just, I mean, any of these legacy comics, if you read them now, just instant depression, instant.
Doonesbury.
I had no idea what the fuck was going on with Doonesbury. I was not cultured or informed enough 10-year-old when I was flipping through the funny pages.
Right. I'm reading Doonesbury and I'm like, this person is dying of cancer in a comic. This is, where are my funnies?
You might have been reading Mary Worth.
Who knows?
Just stick to Marmaduke.
Anyway, none of this is important. We're so far off base.
I just want to say that Hagar the Horrible was the most metal, you know, for Viking reasons.
I don't really remember anything. Oh, I think I was confusing Hagar the Horrible with the religious caveman one.
More or less the same.
Some wild shit. Anyway, moving on, considering that we kind of have a theme on this episode, and I apologize if anybody's turned off by this, but, like, look, this is what happened in the world. This is what we're going to fucking talk about. Let's talk about Season of Mist, if that's all right with y'all.
I mean, it's never all right. It's never, like, the fact that we have to talk about Season of Mist ever in any context, it's never okay, but I feel compelled to do so, of course. That's the goal
here. They have just enough, like, real good bands that we have to occasionally acknowledge them.
It is genuinely a bummer for me when I see something that I like on this label. It's like, well, yeah, time to go to your Bandcamp page and buy it from you directly.
I remember that's and we'll get into it after I say this, but there was some tweet asking, what's the most boring show you've ever been to? And it was a really hard tweet for me to write because clearly the person who prepared it doesn't know what local shows are. But like, you know, I the first thing that came to mind was like a Season of Mist artist, Sarah Longfield, like that YouTube guitarist who has like the 8 string and she does the taps.
We saw her.
That was the most boring fucking thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, you walked away immediately.
I saw one song. I got it.
Yeah, yeah. I walked away probably semi-immediately to go find you because, you know, you knew what was up. You just have the couple of years of me on the scene to know what's going to happen on stage.
It's like, I got it. You're super talented guitarist. I heard you do Wheedly Wheedly a couple times. I'm going to go watch Vampire Werewolf Cowboys called Moonspell.
Right. If you're a YouTube guitarist, it's like the entertainment is very different when you have like these very high definition cameras doing all these spanning effects all over you and your guitar and your fingers than when you're just like standing on a stage in some fucking bar just staring at the fretboard while the rest of us are staring at you. Just that's just all I have to really contribute to the conversation, but please continue about the news.
I've fallen asleep at three different shows in my life. One of them was I got drug out to see M83, that I don't know. He was real popular. Yeah, he was real popular for a bit. I saw him 10 years before he had a big hit or whatever, and it was boring as shit. So I went to the back of the venue where there was a bench, and I fell asleep. And the other two times were both a band called the Black Angels.
Was it the same band, or was it two separate Black Angels?
The same band, years apart.
The only time I've fallen asleep at a show was at Ozfest when Black Label Society was playing.
Oh man, yeah, that's a snoozer for sure.
And like I was sitting on the lawn section of like the amphitheater, and I wake up to some very attractive woman holding my head saying, "You no go to sleep." Like, what? What is happening?
Maybe you were like ODing or something.
I don't know what it was, but it wasn't one of those I am going to lay down and close my eyes. It's like, oh, and I'm out.
Right. The only time I remember
this woman grabbing my head and yelling at me.
Yeah, that could have been the one, man, you know. But any time I've ever fallen asleep at a show, I don't think it was the fault of the artist. I was just insanely drunk.
Oh, I mean, like, I had a little bit to drink here.
You might have had a cocktail or two.
Right.
But the Black Angels are incredibly boring for what it's worth. Yeah. Going into this, Seasons of Mist had a post the other day. This popped up in my feed for some reason. I think I got a notification for it for some reason, oddly enough. November 4th, 3:59 p.m. So Bottom Feeders dug up an interview from 26 years ago made by an, at the time, 18-year-old kid who joined Revenge as a session musician a decade later. The interview contains unacceptable racial slurs. First, Revenge is, and has always been, Jay Reed. The others are session musicians. They do not speak for Revenge. Second, the interview is two decades old, made by a kid. If that interview was recent or made in the name of Revenge, then we would react very differently. Let me be clear. I or we at Season of Mist do not deem any of those words acceptable. Any of it. We stand against racism and white supremacy. Our track record speaks for itself in terms of inclusion, it diversity, sure with bands of every ethnicity. There's the get-out-of-jail-free card. Yeah. But what we stand against, too,
what about my black
friends?
Cancel
culture and those threatening to boycott us. Being against racism doesn't mean standing nowadays cancel culture either. And yes, I did say that correctly. and this, I was so glad that I took the 10 seconds to read this fucking thing, because it really is very indicative of a phenomenon that's been gaining strength among a certain kind of dude online for a little while. And I think that within this statement, you have the Rosetta Stone of what cancel culture really is. Before I get into the whole thing, do either of you have just a gut level impression from Season of Mist here?
Well, you know, I'm really glad that he is speaking out against racism and, you know, all those sorts of things. But, you know, just for the heck of it, I'm going to look up Season of Mist roster right now. And oh dear. Oh, these bands that are on his roster.
Yeah.
Destroyer 666, Deathspell Omega, Druidica, Mayhem, Phil Anselmo and the Illegals. Oh, okay. I see how this works.
Also, you know, Revenge itself. And like, I'll out myself. I own a couple of Revenge records. That was when I was just listening to the insanely repetitive war metal sounds, and I had not bothered to look into what Jay Reed's into at all.
I mean, at the time, you probably didn't have a lot of ways to look into it, you know?
I mean, there probably were. I was, you know, that was before I, you know, Googled every band.
Yeah, but I mean, I think there weren't as many avenues of people to kind of come together and discuss these sort of things, or the scene just didn't care as much back then.
I think Shining is on Season of Mist too. How nice.
Yeah.
There we go. Right. Old Krabby. So what he's saying here, and by the way, like the thing with Jay Reid there is Jay Reid, I don't think he would use, at least not in an interview setting, any kind of explicit slur, but his entire ideology is very clear about where he stands. And it's an extremely suspect social Darwinist view that makes me extremely uncomfortable, as it really should anybody who has a passing familiarity with these kinds of arguments. That being said, the music is whatever. It's unrelated to this. I'm not going to quote unquote cancel you if you enjoy Revenge. I genuinely do not give a shit.
And of course, the whole thing of what the season this guy's saying is ridiculous. Turning it to talk about like cancel culture or something that doesn't actually exist.
Well, cancel culture is such a very interesting buzzword that's popped up in the last, I'd say, 2 years or so. And it really is just an evolution of what was going on in the 90s with PC culture, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the names change, PC culture, SJW. It's always a different label, but it's the same thing.
Yeah, and I mean, at least with PC culture, we got a stone cold classic comedy starring Jeremy Piven out of it. With this, we just get shit like the Harper's Letter from a bunch of fucking losers on Twitter.
Yeah, right, and I to go back to what you were saying about how I don't give a shit. That applies to like just about everything. Like, you know, listen to what you want. We're really just here to let you know if it's like made by a sucky person, and you can. Make the decision you fucking want based off that.
Like, you're welcome to come to my house and flip through my vinyl collection. You're going to see a lot of real sus shit in there. And that's mostly because, fuck, I didn't know.
Perhaps an anus and a cunt somewhere.
I did know on that one, but that, look.
Well, listen.
We all contain multitudes is what I'm trying to say. And that it really doesn't, it's outside of the material fact. Like if you're listening to bands that are sketch or whatever, it's more about like, are you openly advocating for this after the fact? Like, do you want to give money to this? Again, these are personal questions. It's up to you. I don't care, but just, you owe it to yourself to know. Am I wrong on that one? Or is this just one of my, you know, convoluted thoughts?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's like, If you just like the specific wall of bullshit that is like a Burzum track, whatever, but you should be well aware of who you're supporting when you do that. And if that's a decision where you're just like, I mean, I literally can't do anything about that. Like, I can't, what's going to happen? Am I going to unfriend you on Twitter? Is that your meltdown? Like, I don't know. I don't know what people think is really at stake here at some of these cases, especially Season of Mist.
Yeah, we're up against a whole hell of a lot of bad things, and I think that maybe focusing on what's within your vinyl cabinet is maybe outside of, you know, like what's really we're talking about with, you know, funding and ideology, and in the case of a lot of these guys, explicitly white supremacist festivals and networks and training groups. That's kind of a bigger picture look at it, rather than like, well, I like the blast beats. Well, okay, you can like the blast beats. Maybe just don't talk to me about it because I don't want to hear it.
I don't wear this.
Maybe don't spend money on it.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. Or if you do, just fucking don't tell people.
Sure. See no evil, hear no evil, man. It's fine.
It's really simple. What you're doing is the opposite of virtue signaling by wearing a Burzum shirt. You're saying like, I understand what's at stake here, or like what this ideology represents, and I'm cool with that. I'm here to make you uncomfortable. You're anti-virtue signaling or whatever.
Well, I just think it's interesting that in order to get a pass in this regard, Season of Mist is saying, just look at our artists. And then we look at their artists.
Yes, I'm doing that right now.
So what this brings it down to is the essence of what cancel culture is, though. And it seems to have a shifting definition based on who is calling something cancel culture. But in essence, it seems to me that when someone or an entity is criticized publicly for their actions, for their statements, that is in itself perpetuating cancel culture. Is that the read that you get on as well?
Well, I think that is the cop-out response. If someone is on the end of criticism, they have this, like you said, in the last couple of years, and I think it's been more than two, man. I feel like it's been like a strong five that people have been going off about the SJW cancel culture thing. But I think if someone gets criticized online for any sort of toxic behavior or statements or actions or whatever, they now have this like kind of easy cop out where they've been armed with this response about how, oh, this is just cancel culture, because cancel culture can be skewed as toxic by these people. They can go into how it's like hurting people and how it's harmful for our culture and our ability to communicate and produce art and everything like that. And sure, you do have overzealous people, like, absolutely. But at the same time, like, you also have these assholes who think they can get away with just about anything if they just go, oh, here we go, cancel culture.
Yeah, it does seem like kind of a deflection. And to your point, like, there are people that are overzealous about shit like this, but, like, I mean, that's their right. If we're doing the whole free speech thing, you're entitled.
Yeah, that's something that I've always had a response to. It's like, you know, what about my free speech? And I'm like, well, my free speech is that your speech makes you an asshole. That's my free speech. It just happened. Like, this is the conversation. That is the First Amendment. That's how it works. I'm responding to you acting like a dick with my words. You know what I mean? I'm not censoring you. But, it's just if they have an out, if they have some way to make an easy escape, if just, you know, if they have internet argument flashcards to just pull out of their tight little black pockets, then Season of Mist will go for that, apparently. You know, I think they probably had some sort of good response to this at first, but in order to kind of heel turn and to show people that they do take a certain line with things, they had to make that statement about cancel culture. It's like Donald Trump saying the both sides thing. It's just he has to just come out and be like, well, listen, I don't agree with anything that was said here. It was totally wrong. We don't support that whatsoever. The only reason we still work with Refrange is because this person is very, very far away from the band. But guitar slide real, with that said, motherfuckers, listen here, cancel culture is bullshit. Wee wee wee. And everybody headbangs in unison.
Yeah, I mean, like, we may have differing political opinions, but I think that we can agree that as fellow metalheads, we can put aside our differences in the pit, brother. Anyway, I think that just some random fucking guy in here who I don't know what exactly his end game in here is, but he really nailed it. He replied to Seasons of Mist here and said, hey, ask Dagon if cancel culture is real, which is one of the best devil's advocates arguments I've seen in a fucking while, brother. Inquisition kicked off the roster at Season of the Mist. Why? For thought crimes?
And I get the sense, should they come back, as it has been possibly rumored, Season of Mist would welcome them back, not unlike the Boston Red Sox now accepting Alex Cora back as their manager.
Wait, I'm not familiar with what's going on there. Tell me, brother.
Sorry, baseball talk for a minute, and then we'll be done with it. Alex Cora, who was the Red Sox manager last year, previously he was, I believe, one of the managers, assistant manager for the Houston Astros.
Oh!
When they cheated to win the World Series. So he was suspended for a year. The Red Sox fired him. they had some interim nobody cover their season where they knew they were going to lose badly, and now he's back.
Yes, I remember this now. Sorry, I haven't watched baseball in about 2 years now.
You're not missing anything.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, sports talk over.
Thanks for listening to Sports Chat, brother. Anyway, I think that, that argument pretty much nails the whole thing. Like, you know, what cancel culture is has definite limits with what you're comfortable with personally. If you no longer want a pederast on your label and you kick him out, well, I feel like you maybe committed that crime you were just accusing others of. But, maybe that's just a stray thought, maybe a stupid thing, but it might also signify that there is literally nothing to this whole concept.
And how can you say you're against racism and all that when, I mean, just look at your band.
I mean, his whole thing for a while has been plausible deniability while also, you know, clearly courting this specific audience. Even by invoking the whole cancel culture thing, he lets it out that he's edgy Ben Shapiro type, right?
Like, talk shit, get shot.
Oh yeah, that's what you told me, you fucking French freak. So yeah, I don't know. It's fun to see. I think that it is actually really good for people to be questioning their own comfort level with thoughts and ideas and beliefs, because it makes you decide what you believe. And I don't think that trying to stop people from investigating that by declaring everything as cancel culture is going to stop it. But it's a good try.
Yeah. Just make sure you do all this very publicly so, you know, we can screenshot it and hold on to it for later.
Absolutely. I really appreciate when you do that.
And that's the thing. Like, I'll make my overzealous comment earlier, but that's a personal thing. You know, like I'll see it happening on Twitter and I'm like, oh, seriously, we're going this fucking far again. Like, this is really what we see as being a problem. But I'm sure to the people who are engaging in that discourse, it is a problem. And, you know, just because it doesn't affect me and I don't care, doesn't mean that it's something that matters to people.
That's what the mute button's for on Twitter.
That's right. I mean, I can scroll past it, but that's the thing, is I scroll past it. I don't fucking make some stupid blog post on the internet about how just we're limiting the speech and art and culture of a nation or some other god-awful, stupid, blunt, numb-headed take.
Yeah. You don't have to craft an opinion that fits some kind of persona creation. You can just have fun.
you can literally just go fishing. Yeah, just go play like solitaire. You could really do anything else.
I mean, literally, you can just joke with your friends on the internet, which is what has kept me going for years.
Oh man, I like roll through my my timeline, and I'm just like, who wants to hear from this fucking asshole? I'm just, everything is sarcasm. Everything is just an obvious joke. I just don't have a serious thought to make. I delete serious thoughts a minute after I make them because it's just too much. It's too personal. And I just don't have it in me anymore to like pretend to care. I don't know. I'm caring. I care on the other side of the screen. Like, there are things I care about. There are things I'm passionate about, but I just don't think Twitter deserves that side of me.
It's okay to care about things. It's okay to be earnest. But you know, you also don't have to be earnestly caring about every topic all the time.
Sometimes you just need to make a dick joke.
That's it, brother. That's it. We're probably around time on this one, aren't we?
We sure are, man. We just hit a minute after an hour. Do we have anything else to say about the Season of Mist situation here or anything else?
I want to end on a good note.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I can.
Yes, please.
So it's been a little while since I've gotten a really good press release. Most of them are just your generic type stuff, but I got one this week that I feel we should all share in because it's mwah.
Absolutely. Do it to it. I'm excited to hear it.
2020 has been nothing short of chaotic and full of life-altering events. Luckily, music is still a long-standing vice that people use to escape the ups and downs and horrors of everyday life.
I guess, yeah.
during a time where many turn to lyrics in an effort to find solace in and to get a dosage of inspiration that gets our dopamine levels up, The Art of Living offers some simple words of wisdom that will reignite that flame inside of you and help you, as Joe Rogan says, conquer your inner bitch. Find the beauty in every day. Face the music and fucking slay. The Art of Living serves as an anthem that reminds us on a Proverbs level, and Proverbs isn't capitalized, Proverbs level, that although we can't control what happens in life, we can control how we handle it in the moment and how we move forward. Command the dawn of your sunset. Free yourself from chains of weak mindset. Be a fucking man, not the concept of one. Execute a plan. You will transcend the sun. Live life on the edge. Don't be a fucking pussy. Go full throttle with that shit. Falling off the edge gets a little messy. Just learn to party in the shit.
I think they rhyme shit.
Play
with
shit. The guitar like a motherfucking riot.
Pew, pew, pew. I like that he started to write a press release for his band and instead wrote one for an energy drink.
It's actually from a PR person, I believe, so it's not even directly from the band. So they might have paid someone for this.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, I guess you work with what you work with, and if the band has stupid lyrics like that, really not much you could do.
The lyrics sound like a Mentos commercial with a tribal tattoo.
Seriously? Grab life by the dick.
Mentos freshness, don't be a fucking pussy. Go full throttle with that shit.
Goddamn. Well, I'll never hear what this band sounds like in my life.
Yeah, we're not going to mention their name
either. I 100% guarantee everyone listening to this right now knows exactly what this band sounds like.
Yeah. Yep.
You'll probably see them playing one of those 30-band local festivals at some point.
Oh, hell yeah. Well, one day when we can go to shows together, we'll go see the Joe Rogan Experience band.
Great. Don't forget your DMT.
All right, everybody. We got to head out, but I love you, and hey, we'll see you next week.
Yeah, guys, love you. Bye. Keep it metal, I guess.
Bye.
listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.